Welcome everybody to our meditation class. It's good to come in a little bit earlier, sit and meditate just about for about 10 minutes to calm down so that the agitation of the body and the agitation of the mind slowly settles down. When the mind is calm and peaceful, it becomes more receptive. More receptive means it can receive more. It can absorb more. When I was younger, when I was studying in university, before I study anything difficult, I meditate for 10 minutes. And then I read the books and study. It helps quite a lot. Without meditating, if I go and read a book, I'd be reading many pages and didn't know what I was reading. So every time I study something, especially something very difficult, I try to meditate for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And also, when I was to go to answer my exams, I didn't carry any notes or any books. I just took pen, pencil, identity card, ruler, that's all. I won't study anymore. Some people, they want to read and study until the last minute. I didn't do that. I just keep my mind very relaxed and calm. Just walk to the exam hall. And when the bell rang, I went into the room and sat in my place. And then the teacher or whoever give us question papers. I keep the question paper upside down. I kept it upside down. I wouldn't read it immediately. I just sat in my place, meditating for about 5 minutes, without my eyes closed. Just keeping my eyes open and sitting there, not thinking about anything, not thinking about my exams, just breathing in and out. Calm down a little bit. And then slowly, I'll turn the question paper and read it very slowly, not in a hurry. And then answer everything very slowly, not in a hurry. But if you do it slowly and mindfully, you spend less time to finish it. That's the secret of doing things relaxed, at ease, not in a hurry, and finishing it even faster, using less time to finish it. So learn to be more efficient, not just in one thing, in everything you do. Learn to be more efficient, and the best way to be efficient is to be calm and peaceful. If you are in a hurry, if you are agitated, it takes more time to do anything. So if you are creative, you can use meditation in anything you do. Anything, no exception. And everything you do will have better quality. So quality is very important in our life. Very, very important this is. Without quality in our life, we will not feel satisfied with our life. How can we find satisfaction if we don't see any quality? So quantity makes when you are after quality, quantity only, you don't have respect for what you do, what you use even. So whenever I want to use something, I want to use a good quality, anything good quality, and I will use it respectfully, lovingly, with care. And then it will last a long time. So quality in our relationship too. Not casual relationship only, really getting to know each other, really respecting, caring, valuing each other. So everything you do, just pay more attention. How can I make it better? Better means your attitude. How can I do this with a better attitude, with a higher quality of mind? In that way, you will find great satisfaction in whatever you do. So quality of mind is very important. If you have higher quality of mind, then whatever you do will have higher quality. Without higher quality of mind, you cannot do anything with higher quality. It will degrade slowly. So let's talk about Vipassana now. Last week, we finished at the second insight, which is seeing mental and physical phenomenon conditioning each other. One becomes the cause of another. Mental phenomenon becomes a cause for physical phenomenon, and physical phenomenon causing mental phenomenon. So once the meditator develops deeper and deeper insight into this mental and physical phenomenon causing each other, when he has enough strength in his insight, enough clarity in his insight, automatically the mind moves forward. And the meditator begins to see things arising. In the beginning, he or she can see only the natural quality, cannot see something arising right now. Whenever he pays attention, he can see or she can see something which is happening there, but he cannot see when it begins to happen. Only very vaguely sometimes, after something happens, this person becomes aware of, something is happening now, but he cannot see to the very beginning. So when the insight develops stronger, the person begins to see something appearing, and then another thing appearing, and then another thing appearing. And after a while, the person begins to see something appearing, staying for a while, and disappearing. So everything becomes slow movement. Thoughts become slow movement. Sensations also become slow movement. So you have seen slow movement in the movies. Things move very slowly. So one frame after another, slowly going. So the person can see arising, staying for a while, passing away. Sometimes changing slightly and then passing away. So this change is also one aspect of impermanence. And not only that, the person begins to see that things are arising and they last for only a very short moment and then they pass away. How can we find any satisfaction in this? So seeing that things are not satisfactory. So in this stage, if a person listens to music, the person will hear one note arising and passing away, another note arising and passing away, without continuity. So cannot really enjoy the music. And he will think that, I thought this is very good before, but now it doesn't make sense. One thing arising and passing away, one thing arising and passing away. Without any continuity, we cannot enjoy anything. So at this stage, the person begins to see that, how can we enjoy anything? They don't last. So whether pleasant or unpleasant, whatever happens, this person begins to see that things arises, last for only a very short moment, passing away. So answers, because they arises and passes away, they are unsatisfactory. So here, the Pali, I will give you Pali also. It is from Patisambhidhamagga, the text. Patisambhidhamagga. Atita nagata pichupananam damanam singhi piktua vavuthane panya sammasane jnanam. So past, present, and future. Damana means mental and physical phenomena. So atita means past. Anagata means future. Pichupanana means in the present. So you can see it's not in accordance, in sequence. Past, future, and present. So that shows that you don't have to watch these things in this sequence. So whatever happened in the past, or whatever will happen in the future, or whatever is happening now, this person take the whole, Sankhipetva means taking as a whole in a compact form. Sankhipetva. Vavottani means seeing them as anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And this panya, this wisdom, is called sammasana, sammasaninyanam, sammasananyanam. So, contemplating mental and physical phenomenon, seeing anicca, dukkha, and anatta. But where do we begin? We begin in the present. Seeing whatever is happening right now in our body, in our mind, and understanding it as pure natural phenomenon, natural qualities. So we can only see qualities here again. We cannot see concepts. We cannot directly experience concepts. We can think about concepts, but we cannot experience concepts. So experiencing the qualities like hardness, coldness, hardness, softness, heat, cold, movement, pressure, heaviness, and many other qualities too. So we can experience these qualities directly without thinking about them. And also mental. Greed has its own quality. Reaching for something, desiring for something. Without the words, you can feel it, desire for something. And anger, frustration, aversion, wanting to destroy, wanting to push away, wanting to run away, aversion. So any kind of quality in the mind or in the body, we can see it as quality, not a being. A process, not a being. Seeing it as conditioning each other, arising because of causes. And then after a while, seeing that they arise, lasts only for a short duration and then passing away. So after seeing it in the present, then we can understand that in the past also, the same thing happened. No matter how long the past was, the same thing happened. The story might be different, but if you just look at the qualities like hardness, softness, heat and cold, movement, pressure, vibration, or any other mental qualities also, happiness, unhappiness, greed, aversion, pride, envy, jealousy, even wisdom, even metta, any quality you see, you'll find that they arise and pass away. They arise because they have enough, sufficient cause to rise, not the being. And also, this person begins to think also. In this state of insight, there's a lot of thinking also arising. Because this person now beginning to see as a whole all the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, and all the three time, past, future, and present, trying to see the whole picture, and simplifying also, making it very simple. No matter what happened before, it's all mental and physical process, phenomena. And no matter what happened, good or bad, everything arises and passes away. And they arise and pass away because they have sufficient cause to arise. And because they have the nature to pass away. So to arise, we need cause. But to pass away, no cause. Because, let's see, to make a sound, we need a cause for that. Somebody must hit the bell to make a sound. And so, somebody hit the bell, there's a sound, the bell ringing. And you can hear the ringing voice, the ringing sound, getting softer and softer and softer. Passes away. So to pass away, we don't need any cause. It's the nature dissipating. So I think this is also something, some similar law in physics. The second law of thermodynamics. Somebody heard about that? Things disintegrate. That's nature. You don't need any cause for that. So anyway, this person begins to see everything happening in the whole samsara in a compact form, in a glance. No matter what, mental and physical phenomenon arises because of sufficient cause and passes away. The story might be different. The story is piñati. Process is pramatha, what is real. So when we put the process and interpret that, it becomes a story. So in this meditation, we don't interpret anything, we don't put things together. We see each moment separately. Each moment very separately. Each phenomenon separately. So when you can see each phenomenon separately, then you can really see the nature of it. If you put things together, you have an idea. So when this, when the person develops this paccaya parigrahajnana, seeing the causes for the mental and physical phenomenon to arise, when the insight becomes really strong, automatically it moves forward, and the person sees arising and passing away, unsatisfactoriness, and also just watching it and doing nothing, seeing that there's no control. This natural phenomenon will not follow anybody's wish. You cannot say that, may my body doesn't move. It's always moving. There's always very subtle vibration and movement in the whole body. When there's a sound, you cannot say that, may I not hear the noise. If there's a sound, if there's your ear, which is normal, and if you pay attention, you'll hear it. There's no way you can say that, may I not hear the noise. If there is sufficient cause, it will arise. So the same thing with any other natural phenomenon. They don't follow our wish. Sometimes we want to think that if we develop psychic power, then we will have complete control over natural phenomenon. And you might have heard of some people in the past, especially because they spend a lot of time developing mental power. Because of their strong mental power, they can control phenomena, as if they can control phenomena. But they passed away. They cannot control that. Every one of them passed away. Even the Buddha passed away. They cannot stop themselves from dying. So we have seeming control. It only seems to like that. I can control some phenomena. I can decide to get up and go now. I have control. So when you look at that way, you feel that you have some control, you are in control. But you look at the small physical and mental phenomenon happening anywhere in your body or in your mind, do you really have any control? Just tell yourself, to your mind, stop thinking for 1 minute. You have been thinking for many, many years. We have been thinking 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Just tell your mind, totally stop thinking now for 60 seconds. You will not be able to do that. But if you practice for a long time, then you are able to do that. You will be able to do that. Not because you wish it, because of the conditioning. The practice is also a conditioning. So just because we practice for a long time and we are able to keep our mind still for a few minutes or a few hours, doesn't mean that we are in control. It's the conditioning. The practice itself is conditioning. So if you condition enough, if you give it enough condition, it will happen. So this is one condition. In Patana also, you might have heard of that word, asevana vichayo, repeated conditioning. So by repeated conditioning, you can make something happen. So in this case, in this insight, this person really begins to see and accept that, oh, really, it is a nature. It is really impermanent. Yes, I've heard about it for so many, many times, for so long, and I thought I understood it and I believed it, but only now I see it is really impermanent, and it is really unsatisfactory. How can we find any real satisfaction? How can we find any lasting satisfaction in such phenomenon? And also seeing that there is no real control. It's only seeming control, no real control in it. We cannot control ourselves not to grow old. If I have any control, I would like to be 25 years old always. But now I've doubled that, 50. But I'm only halfway through. Which means I'm going to live for 100 years if I can. Well, if I look after myself, I'll live longer. But no control, no real control. So that doesn't mean that we don't look after ourselves. Oh, it will die. When I die, I die. I don't care. That is not the right attitude. Look after yourself. Make yourself healthy. Live long. Learn more. We have invested so much in this life. Get the most out of it. So, when not noticing, seeing things when they arise, in the present moment, when we see it very clearly, immediately the thought comes, oh, this is really true, arising and passing away. Oh, it is really true, unsatisfactoriness, this is unsatisfactory. And then noticing again and see that, yes, no real control. Things arise and passes away, no real control. You cannot say, arise now and don't pass away. You cannot say, don't arise. They arise and pass away, no real control. So in between direct noticing, contemplation or thoughts of Dharma arises many, many times. So it is very important not to encourage thinking too much. It will happen even in the next insights. Whenever you have some new insight, you begin to think. Because it is something new, you get excited. You feel that you have achieved something. So although thoughts of Dharma arises, wash those thoughts also. Thinking of Dharma, thinking of Anicca, thinking of Dukkha, thinking of Anatta. And in some cases, a very short moment of contemplating encourages you to practice more. But don't encourage thinking. Encourage real seeing right in the moment. So here is another thing very, very important. Eka sankhara sapi anicchataya dikthaya sabe sankhara anicchati ava sesesu nayato manasi karo hoti. If you see one anicca, one phenomenon and see it as anicca, so eka sankhara sapi, sankhara means any conditioned phenomenon. Even here, P here means even. Even one phenomenon, conditioned phenomenon, if you see it arising and passing away really clearly, it convinces you that everything is the same. So it's like you want to take down a big wall, but you cannot reach, it's too big, so you cannot reach the edges. So you take down one, you take out one brick in the middle. If you are able to take out one brick, then the next break is easy. That's why, don't try to understand everything at once. Try to understand one thing first. Any kind of natural phenomenon in your body, like breathing sensation or any movement, any kind of other sensation in your body, try to keep your mind on one thing as long as possible. So, the longer you keep your mind on one phenomenon, the more clearly you see it. More and more you see it clearly and clearly. And then you see it rises and passes away. And once you see it in one aspect of the natural phenomenon, that will spread to other aspects too. But don't be in a hurry. Let it happen. Just keep your mind on one thing long enough, as long as possible. So when you see one anicca, then you can be convinced that sabbe sankhara anicca, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. That means you don't have to go and see all the sankharas. There are too many, too many. Only a Buddha can see all. For those who are very intellectual, they can see more variety, more widely about many, many things rising and passing away, many aspects of anicca, dukkha, anatta. It depends on the person's intellectual ability, learning, knowledge also. That means, the more knowledge you have and the more you think, the slower you go. The slower you go. So although you have a lot of knowledge about Buddha Dharma, while you are meditating, don't think about them. Yeah, very detailed explanations given, because some people misunderstood that you can think about Nesa, Dukkha Anatta. Some people, they have a, what you call, rosary, and then they count the rosary saying, Anicca Dukkha Anatta, Anicca Dukkha Anatta, Anicca Dukkha Anatta, for thousands of times, believing that doing that, they will understand or see Anicca Dukkha Anatta. But there is no way you can do that. You cannot think about Anicca Dukkha Anatta, you can only see it. But when you see it, then you begin to think about it again. Don't think about it. And some people think that to understand Anicca Dukkha Anatta completely, you need to understand all the things happen in the past. So there's a school in Burma, a meditation center in Burma, which encouraged that. In that center, they encouraged meditators to develop very high jhana, I mean, before jhana, and then train the mind to go back, recall past lives. So, they recall one life and see the end of it, the last moment, the last consciousness, and see the first consciousness of another new life. And then recall that life, and then see the last consciousness again, and then the first consciousness of another life. Try to do that. Very few people succeed in doing that. And it is not necessary. To do that, you need to spend about 20 hours a day meditating. And for many months, you cannot develop such strong samadhi just practicing meditation for a few hours a day. Total concentration, no distraction at all, and you can direct your mind to one thing and guide it to wherever you want to go. So, especially for monks who has got nothing to do, nothing else to do, I mean, who is also healthy, very strong, with good digestion, with good health, can sit a long time and concentrate for months, it is feasible. So for lay people, not easy to do that, not necessary also to do that. So in this state of jnana, very beautiful dharma discourses also can come into your mind. Because of the concentration and also because of the insight developing, thoughts become very deep and profound. Dharma thoughts become very deep and profound, and also one can see one's whole life. As much as you can remember, you can see the whole life and see all the meaning, what happened, why it happened, and how temporary it is, everything is. You can see that how we got so unhappy about such thing that will not last for a long time. So look at yourself. We get very excited about many things. We get happy, we get angry. Both of them are excitement. But with this detachment, seeing it as just phenomenon, not personal, not a person, not a being, not belonging to you, not me, not mine, not I, when you can see things from that sort of detached point of view, you can see that no need to get excited. And that gives you a lot of relief, tremendous relief. Even some kind of a mental sickness also, some people, all of us are more or less a little bit mentally sick. Believe it. Totally healthy body, non-existent. The doctors will know that, can know that. You give me 10 different kinds of tests and you'll find 10 different kinds of sickness in my body. So there's no such thing as totally healthy body, and also there's no such thing as totally healthy mind. But that doesn't mean that you're crazy. We are just normal, normally unhealthy. So when you get this kind of detached inside, your mind becomes very healthy. So to be really healthy means to have a really clear understanding. There's no other way to become really healthy. Mentally, I mean. There's no other way. That's why some people with some sort of mental depression or anything like that, when they meditate and come to this stage, that depression disappears, just disappears. And many times I remind you not to think too much, especially about dukkha. So when you see anicca, you think about it, it's okay in a way. You see more and more anicca. It becomes more and more clear. You feel very convinced. But when you see dukkha, you can see that there's no satisfaction. Nothing is satisfactory. In a glimpse, you understand it very clearly. But if you start thinking about it, you lose that detachment, you get involved, and that dukkha thinking makes you depressed again. With the help of some samadhi, you can become very involved in it. So samadhi can be used in a good way or in a bad way. It's very important not to think about dukkha, especially. So when seeing this phenomenon, the meditator can see very clearly that there is no such thing as permanent ego, permanent soul, permanent entity. Everything is always changing, phenomenon, process. So you see everything as process. And if you put into a very concise category, you find only two categories. One is physical, another is mental. Mental process and physical process. And both of them arises and immediately passes away. Before we meditate, we have some idea that thing doesn't last. My happiness last year, where is it? It's gone. So we can understand that, well, happiness doesn't last. And what about unhappiness? Unhappiness also doesn't last. Seeing doesn't last, hearing doesn't last. When there's sound, when we pay attention, we hear. When there's no sound, there's no hearing. So it is quite obvious. But in meditation, when there's a sound, we hear it immediately and see it immediately passing away. And we also see the hearing, which is mental process. Sound is physical process. Hearing is mental process. And we see this hearing consciousness arising right now and passing away immediately. And seeing both together arising and passing away really convinces us it is really a nature. It is really unsatisfactory, dukkha, no control. And it is really anatta, just a process. And we can see it arising now and passing away now. And there's no core, no hard core inside. Anicca has, anatta has many meanings. Asarakathina. Sara means something lasting in the middle. Like if you take a tree, a big tree, and cut it, and in the middle you get this hard essence of the tree. That is also called sara. Hard core, the essence. Something that lasts. So asaraka means no essence. Nothing lasts. So that which is anicca, that is dukkha also. And that which is anicca and dukkha, it is also anatta. Or because it is there is no control, it is also dukkha. So you see, dukkha is in the middle. Because it is anicca, it is dukkha. Because it is anatta, it is dukkha again. If we can wish for something, then we won't see it as anicca, or dukkha, I mean. If I can say that I want to be like this all the time, and if it stays like this, then I won't see it as dukkha, because it won't stay. It will change. And also this is another word, very important word, which means udayabhaya pilana. Pilana means oppressing, hurting. Udaya means arising, vaya means passing away. Arising and passing away is really like a torture. So when you think about it, it's very difficult to see it, to really understand it. But in your meditation, you can see that things are arising and passing away, and arising and passing away, and arising and passing away. It's a torture. So it is like pilana, torturing. not giving you any peace at all. So you will see this Udabaya Pilana also in the higher meditation insights. Especially when you get to the highest, you can see even this moment, this mindfulness, it becomes so sharp and clear. You can see phenomenon very quickly arising and passing away, but very accurately. And you can see that, and you feel that even knowing this nature becomes dukkha again. I don't want to know this anymore. I don't want to see this anymore. This arising is and passing away is so oppressive. It is a torture. So before we know that, when we hear something, we think, oh, it's so nice. We like it. But when you get to this deep insight, you can see that to have to hear is dukkha. Because at one point, you don't want to hear anything anymore. You don't want to see, you don't want to hear, you don't want to feel anything more, you don't want to think anything anymore, and you don't want to even know anything anymore. I don't want to know anything anymore, enough of this knowing. But you cannot stop there. You are still knowing one thing after another. Phenomena are rising and passing away. You cannot run away from this phenomenon. There is no escape. So you see that this phenomenon arising and passing away is itself a torture. But don't think about it. When you see it, then you will understand it. This is just giving you a hint. And sometimes you will see this consciousness also. We want to be happy. We want to make ourselves happy. And when you see that thought coming in, you can watch it and immediately it disappears. And you can see that even this thought arises and passes away. How can this thought make anybody happy? There's nobody there. How can this thought make anybody anything happy? It itself is impermanent. And a lot of thoughts coming in. So when you see consciousness is arising and passing away, you can see that they arises and they passes away, or it arises and it passes away without changing its nature, without changing its natural characteristic. There's another word for it, I think sometimes I forget there. A unique characteristic, which means if any kind of desire or greed arises, it cannot change to another nature. Before it can change to another nature, it cannot change actually. It passes away as desire. Desire arises as desire and passes away as desire only. So that means, I read in some books about mental states and consciousness and wisdom. In some books they say that you can change your anger into love. That is impossible. You cannot change your anger into love, into metta. You cannot change dvada into metta. Dvada will not become metta. Dvada arises and passes away as dosa, as anger. Loving kindness arises as loving kindness and passes away as loving kindness. It cannot change its nature. So it's unique characteristic or natural characteristics, so it doesn't change. Only it arises and passes away. That's why it is impermanent. So there's a lot of confusion even among meditators about this point. Some people think that you can change one thing into another. What in the definition of anicca, they say that paramattha doesn't change. There's one Pali sentence which says that paramattha doesn't change. Reality doesn't change. So some people confuse about this meaning. Reality, paramattha doesn't change, means it is permanent. No. It doesn't change its nature, but it arises and passes away. So arising and passing away, impermanence and not changing nature does not contradict. This is a very important point, especially for those who are potential teachers, to understand this point very clearly. So, yes?
From the speaking of chemical reaction, from AI problems and consumption, there will be discussion. They should not take the shape of that.
Yes? Oxygen, yeah. Yes. Yes, that's a good question. Thank you for asking it. What do we mean by hydrogen? By hydrogen, we mean we have a theoretical structure model of an atom with one neutron, one proton, and one electron. But when we look at this hydrogen atom only, we can see that even this one atom is always changing. Nothing can stay stable. It is always changing. Because it is always changing so fast, it seems to be the same. So if you look deeper into the structure of this hydrogen atom, you'll find that even this electron is always gaining photon and giving away photon. Always giving, taking and giving away. Receiving photon and giving away photon. So that the energy level of the electron is always changing. So we cannot think of electron as a thing. I've studied philosophy, physics for many, many years. I'm very interested in physics. So many physicists said the same thing, but I remember one physicist in whom I'm more interested, Richard Feynman. Maybe you've heard of him, Richard Feynman. He was a Nobel Prize winner also. He passed away very recently, only about a couple of years ago. And he was a member of the NASA organization also. And he found out the ring, the ceiling ring, which was the cause of one of the explosion. And he said, electron is not a thing. Electron is a theoretical model. It's only energy. And energy is always changing. And look deeper into the atom, nucleus also, you'll find that the nucleus itself, this neutron and proton, they are giving and taking energy all the time. Nothing can stay the same. But if we take at the whole picture, it seems like it stays the same. But if you look into the energy, you'll find that the energy is always changing. So we cannot think of anything as a thing. There's no such thing as a thing. The whole universe is a process, not a thing. When we look at something as a thing, then it seems like that they are not changing. But if you look at electron, neutron, and proton as a process, then you can see they are always changing. Look deeper into that. So when they combine also, they change. They change their nature even, their natural unique characteristic. The natural unique characteristic of hydrogen and the natural unique characteristic of oxygen, they are not the same. And when you combine the two, you get a new quality. And even that doesn't stay always the same. And in Vipassana, we are talking about the quality only. We don't talk about thing because there's no such thing as thing. We can never talk about things behind the quality. We can only think about things behind the quality. And the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to become detached. We get attached to things. And that's why we suffer. So what do we get attached to? We get attached to things we experience. We cannot get attached to things that we don't really experience. So we get attached to sights, sound, smell, taste, sensations on the body. Then anything that becomes related to the eye, we get attached to that also. So when we look at the direct experience in our daily life, we can see that no experience lasts. This is an important point. We don't need to see that nothing lasts. What we need to see is no experience lasts. So experience are impermanent. Can you agree upon this point? Experience are impermanent. That's the most important thing. Experience are impermanent. And what can you say more about other than experience? Definitely for sure. There's nothing we can really be sure about anything else. We can think about it. We can see that physics, the theory always changing, modifying and changing. Even the physicists are not really sure about, even about electrons. I've been trained as an electrical engineer, and I was thinking, what is electricity? And they say, it's the electrons moving. Then I said, what is electron? And I've been looking deeper and deeper into what is electron, and still couldn't find the real answer now, until now. So this is very interesting. I'm still interested in that. But in Vipassana, we are looking at the direct experience, because that is where we get attached to. And what do we mean by I? These experiences put together, we call this I. With no experience, there's no I. So, I think I've tried my best to answer your question. So, in the same way, when there's a wholesome mental state arises, the meditator can see it as wholesome mental state, and it passes away as it arises, without changing its nature. It passes away without changing its nature. So this point is very important. Without changing its nature means unwholesome mental states does not become wholesome. Wholesome mental states does not become unwholesome, but they arise and pass away. And in this stage of insight, this meditator can see it very clearly, and it is very deep and profound. So when you can see these things arising and passing away, when even any kind of unhappy thought come into your mind, you can wash it and it passes away. You don't need to do anything about it. Even any kind of desire arising, you can just wash it and it passes away. You don't have to do anything about it. You are not compelled to act upon that mental state. You don't need to obey that mental state. So you have a choice. If you think that this is the right thing to do, then you can decide and do it. But you don't have to. Otherwise, we are compelled to do a lot of things. We are compelled. We have no choice. You see something, you get greedy. You have no choice. You see something or hear something and you get upset. You have no choice. But when you can wash your mind, you have a choice. You don't get greedy. You don't get upset. You are free. So this is tremendous freedom. So in this stage, there are many things important to keep in mind. One is that don't think too much. Look more closely to the passing away of the phenomenon. Because you have seen the arising and staying and passing away. And at this point, pay more attention to disappearing. It has disappeared and there's a blank there. Another thing arises, it disappears and there's a blank there. A gap there. So if you pay more attention to the passing away of phenomenon, you develop sharper awareness. Your meditation becomes, your observation becomes sharper. So to make it sharper is very important. If you think too much, it becomes dull. And also, to choose suitable situation, choose suitable condition to make your meditation insight become stronger. So, dwelling place also very important. Food very important. Eat right kind of food and the right amount. And sleeping also, if you sleep too much, you lose your sharpness. You need a certain amount of sleep also, at least about 4 hours sleep. Actually, that is quite enough. Meditators can stay healthy sleeping only for 4 hours a day. And not to look or see, not to listen to unsuitable sensations. So that means if you really want to meditate, don't watch television. Don't read magazines or any other things that disturbs your mind. Don't listen too much to news or whatever, and even talking. We cannot live without talking, but especially in a serious meditation situation, talk as little as possible, and only about Dharma. That will help you develop sharper insight. And also associating with people who are mindful, who are really honestly trying to be mindful. If you associate with somebody who doesn't want to really practice, just want to talk about it, you lose your sharpness. You lose your intensity of mindfulness. And also suitable temperature. If you are living in a very hot place, it's very difficult to develop deeper samadhi and mindfulness. And also very cold, not suitable. So the temperature also should be within a comfortable range. And iriyapatha, so avasa, gochara. Gochara means seeing and hearing and all that. Or even going here and there. Don't go to a place which will disturb your meditation. So you have to consider, is it a proper place for me to go? Is it a proper place for me to go, proper time for me to go? Even though some place is proper to go, you have to consider the time also. If you go there in the middle of the night, maybe it's not proper. So avasa means dwelling place, gochara means place and also the sights and sound. Basa means what you talk about. It's very important. Pogala means the people you are associating with. It's very important. And bhojana, food. Utu, weather. Iriyapta, posture, which means sitting, standing, walking, lying down. You have to adjust all those things. If you stay lying down too long, you lose your sharpness. So try to adjust all those things. Keep alert, keep awake, and also have a balance. And the meditator naturally finds out that if I stay mindful right in the moment, it helps me see things more clearly. Very obvious. If you keep your mind right in the moment, more and more, it stays there more and more, and the mindfulness and clarity becomes stronger and stronger. And sometimes, when the person becomes a little bit lax, lazy, it happens sometimes, then you have to motivate yourself. Self-motivation very important. If you have a good friend and a good teacher, he or she can also help you to put more energy to practice. So self-motivation is the most important, actually. And thinking of the good opportunity that you have now. I have met many people, some of them my friends, actually. And I told them to meditate, encouraged them to meditate many, many times. And they say, I'm too busy. I'm working very hard. I have too many responsibilities. I've got a promotion just a few days ago, a few weeks ago. And I'm learning to cope with my new responsibilities. I have no time. So one person like that, he was 1 year older than me. But he's dead for a few years now, maybe 5 or 6 years now. So I told him repeatedly, meditate, meditate, while you have time to do meditate. But he always told me that, too busy, no time. And then, one day he found himself becoming very tired, no energy. So he went to a hospital to get a medical checkup and found out that he had kidney cancer. So he had an operation, took out one kidney. And he took a long vacation. What do you call that? I don't know. Long. He took a leaf, a long leaf. So, long leaf and took ropes. And then he tried to meditate for about a month. And felt a bit better, maybe because of the operation and because of some medicine also. And then meditation also. And then he went back to work. He thought that his cancer was cured. And he got very busy again, no time to meditate. And then after a couple of years, he became sick again. And then went to get a checkup again and found out that another kidney also has cancer, had cancer. So he was hospitalized. And I went to see him in the hospital twice a week, sometimes once a week, and encouraged him to meditate. You know what he did? Even in the hospital, he'll just lie down and watch television. poor guy. And then he got more and more sick, and I told him to meditate. Sometimes I sat near him and said, let's meditate now. I gave him very simple instruction. He tried to meditate. And he said, oh, I feel very happy now, very peaceful now. So I said, I'm going now. Try to meditate a few times a day. But after I went away, I asked his wife whether he meditated. He said, no, he's just watching television. And then he got more and more sick. And I went to see him again and again. He said, I want to meditate, I want to meditate. But he was taking so many different kinds of medicines that the medicine made him even more sick. Very dull, drowsy, can't keep himself alert. He said, I try to meditate, but I fall asleep. And then just before he died, I went to see him again. He said, it's a little bit too late for me to meditate. Too late. In Burmese, he say, Nene nao cha dwar. Nene means a little bit too late. So this is very important, you know. A few weeks ago, one man came here, late in the night, and he came and rang my bell, the bell. I thought, something important, somebody came. And I looked out and saw two men. And so I opened the door, and I asked them why they came. And he said, this person is a newcomer here, and he wants to know something about meditation. So I thought, all right, if he really wants to learn, I'm willing to teach. So I called him here. We came here, and I sat here and asked him and talked to him and gave him some meditation instructions. And he said, my mind is so agitated, I cannot sit. So I told him, walk up and down here. There's enough space here. Walking is easier to keep your mind, taking each step mindfully. And then I asked him, what are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking of tomorrow. What about? What are you thinking about tomorrow? He said, I have a case in the court tomorrow. I have to go there. And he was very agitated. And he came in the night to meditate. Isn't that too late? So before anything like that happened, meditate. Train your mind to be calm and peaceful, to have a very clear understanding, to have some sort of detachment, then even though things like that happen in your life, you'll be able to cope it. You can improve things also in some cases. So very important to motivate yourself. I'm healthy now. And if I want to, I can find time. It depends on you. If you are willing, you can find time. If you are willing. If you are not willing, you can give 100 excuses. I'm too busy. And sometimes, even in meditation, you become a little bit tired. You are meditating. You are willing to meditate, but your body becomes a little bit tired. So in that case, try to take a rest, but don't let go of your mindfulness. Take a rest and still maintain some mindfulness. Don't indulge in sleeping. And another point very important for, especially for teachers, because in meditation, different teachers have different ideas and sometimes a lot of argument. This is right and that is right. No, this is not right, that is right. One argument is that in Pali it's called Lakna Aropitwa. Lakna means Anicca Dukkha Anatta. Aropitwa means to put it on top. And some people think that that means you have to think about it. You see phenomenon, mental or physical, and then you think about it, this is anesa, this is dukkha, this is anatta. Some people think that that is the proper way to do. But what does it mean by lakna aropitwa? It means to put something on top means you have something already there. So what do you have already there? Already you have developed namarupa parichidanyana, seeing phenomenon, mental and physical only. And seeing that they arise because they have conditioned. They have caused to arise. And on top of that, later, you develop deeper insight and see this mental and physical process as anicca, dukkha, and anatta, all three. So, that doesn't mean that you think about it. To look more and more deeply and find that out. not to think about it. So in Burmese, those who are familiar with Burmese language, I want to give a quotation here. Yau nan do e piemu piemu nyemau matiya de babel ye. Tuta sainda mya pien mansa yue. Anisa doka anata hu yusu nalong tuin yami. Todo yusu nalong tuin ma lakana yi timu kisa pidi hu tenma ye shija yi. Todo ga matenma ape. It's very clear. Don't think that you need to think about it. But when you get to that stage, it is so good to think about it. Thinking even becomes so clear, so precise. So a lot of thoughts coming in. Like say, in walking meditation, at this stage, the meditator can feel that every movement disappears. So you see movement as segments of movement, not just one movement. So the mind, the consciousness, this mindfulness is taking notice of this movement. So every time it takes notice of one movement, it disappears. So when you move your hand like this, you can see it as many segments, many small movements disappearing. So in walking, you try to move, you wash it, and it disappears. Move it again, that movement disappears. Not the shape. I want to remind you again and again, not the shape, the movement. Movement itself has no shape. So movement disappears, sensation disappears. So when you move something, there is some sensation happening there. Tightness, looseness. Sensation disappears. When you move more and more, sensation disappears. Movement itself is a kind of sensation, disappears. So you see things disappearing very clearly. When you eat also, you bring the food to your mouth. Every movement, sensation disappears. When you hear anything, hearing disappears. So for example, when you ring the bell like this, you can hear many sounds disappearing. Not just one sound. Many ringing disappears. So things become segmented, discrete in a way, not continuous. Nothing is continuous, everything is discrete. This is another word from physics. Packets of energy, discrete. And very surprising also about ahara eating, at this stage, if you drink a glass of water, you take a glass of water, you drink it, especially if a glass of juice, you can feel it more. You drink it and you watch what happens. It goes down into your stomach. You can feel it going down and down and down. And you can feel the sensation there. It feels good, you know that it feels good. And then after a few minutes, you can feel all over the body, the effect of the glass of water or juice, even water. It goes into your blood, into every cell in your body. You can feel it changing. You can see that every moment, energy changing. And also, Uttamaya, the Aharamaya method of awareness, practice. I mean, every time you eat, you can see this effect of the food. Uttamaya is weather condition. So when the weather changes, you can feel changing, your body changing. Body doesn't mean, I don't mean the shape of the body, the sensation in the body changes. And even thoughts, when you think one thought, you can see it affects the whole body, every cell in your body. React or participate with the thought. So body and mind, they participate, they work together. You can never separate body and mind. Every thought affects every cell in your body. And you can feel it. It's not just a thinking theory. You can feel it. You think about something, you can feel the effect of your thought all over your body. very, very interesting, very deep and profound. When you get to that depth of seeing and understanding, you'll find very difficult to find a good book to read. You find that many of the books written, they are just thoughts. If you can become that sensitive, every thought affects your whole body, you'll be very wary of thoughts. You'll not let thoughts come in. You'll be more mindful, and then there'll be less and less negative thoughts. If you become more and more mindful, you'll not indulge in thinking too much. Sometimes we indulge in thinking. I have a friend who is always angry and upset, always not satisfied with something or another, somebody or another. And I asked her many, many times, why are you making yourself angry all the time? Why are you making it? Do you know that you are making it? She said, yes, I know I'm making it. Then why are you doing that? She said, when I get angry, then I have more energy. When I don't get angry, I feel depressed. So blaming another person and feeling herself smarter, she is actually very intelligent. And that's her problem. Because she is so intelligent, she thinks she's smarter and she can see everything wrong. Her idea is that if you don't see something is wrong, then you are stupid. So she's very smart and she's always unhappy. So which is better, to be smart or to be happy? You have a choice. So don't be so smart. Don't look for something wrong all the time. Very, very important. When you can see it, then you know it's not worth getting upset about anything at all. Maybe somebody is really wrong, really evil. Yes, somebody is really evil, really wrong. But what's the point of getting yourself, making yourself unhappy about it? What's the point? There's no point. So this is called Chittasa method. It's not really a method, actually, but emphasizing more on how the mind affects the body, how thoughts affect your body, how greed affects your body, how metta affects your body, how mindfulness affects your body. You can see when you are unmindful and when you are mindful. Suddenly you become mindful again. You can feel your body and mind becoming more relaxed, more settled, less and less agitation. You can feel it. And you can see that it's better to be mindful than not. It's really better to be mindful than not. There's no other better way to live. The best way to live is to be mindful always. As soon as you become unmindful, your mind and body becomes more agitated. You have more stress. Even sleepiness is dull. Painful, actually, in a way. So, Chittasa method. What else method? So the person sees that when something passes away, it doesn't go anywhere. It is not collected somewhere. Things arises and passes away. Where did it go? Or where does it go? Nowhere. It just disappears. And where were the things before they arise? Nowhere. So they come from nowhere and they go to nowhere. This is also very profound. When you see it, then you can feel the profundity of it. It comes from nowhere and goes to nowhere. Any sensation, any feeling, any mind movement, any natural phenomenon, not the shape, the sensation, the experience. Before you experience something, where is that experience? It's nowhere. After you experience something, where does that experience go? Nowhere. So here we are talking about direct experience of the phenomenon, not anything abstract. It's real, direct. So a sound is an experience. Hearing is an experience. Touching is an experience. Movement is an experience. So all these experiences, they arise now and they pass away now. They don't come from anywhere, they don't go anywhere. Anidanagata Bega, which means when they pass away, they don't go and stay anywhere. They don't get collected anywhere. Onjo Nati Anagati. Before they come, they are not in a storehouse anywhere. Nibata Yepi Tithanti. When it happens, it doesn't stay. Arage ta sasapu pama. Arage means a very sharp needle. Sasapa means a very small, I don't know what, monhi. Not particle, a seed, a very small seed. A kind of very small monhi seed, how do you call that in English? Mustard seed. This is just an example, a simile. You put a mustard seed on a tip of a needle. How long will that stay? It'll fall off immediately. So this is just an example. So it doesn't last. So there are many, many gathas here, very beautiful and profound, but they mean all the same. Even karma arises and passes away, and there's a kind of energy which is very difficult to talk about, this energy, which gives effect again. Even that energy, it is not a thing. Just like any energy, it is not a thing. It is always in a flux. So, it'll take some time to talk about it also. Somebody asked me the same question a few days ago. For example, let me see if I can give you an example. Now we have this computer disk. You can put a lot in the computer disk. Sound and even images you can put there. So when you put words or sound or images in the computer, actually in that disk there's no sound. You cannot put computer disk near your ear and listen to what it's in there. Even in cassette tape also, there isn't any sound there. Or the best way we can say is that there is some sort of magnetic coding there. So we change sound into electricity and electricity into magnetic coding and put magnetic coding there. And if you look into this computer disk, there's only two signals there. Are you familiar with computers? Yes. Right. So there's only two messages in the computer. Yes and no, or on and off. Only two. And combining these two, you can make anything in the computer. So in the computer disk, only on off, different combination. And what is the material the computer disk is made from? Maybe it's a kind of plastic base, and on top of that a kind of iron, very fine, magnetized iron coating. I'm not really exactly sure about that, but it must be something made from iron compound. And if you look into this iron compound again, it's atoms. And if you look deeper into atom, you'll find that electrons and all that always changing. But even though this computer disk, atoms are always changing every moment, still it maintains some sort of continuity, and you can retrieve that again. So very difficult to talk about this karma. That's why Buddha said the most difficult thing to talk about is karma. And samsara also. We talk about no being, but how come these people going through the samsara process? We say that there's no people and then there are still people going through the samsara. So I want to discuss about this as a separate discussion. It's a very, very interesting one. Topic. So in this stage also, the person sees both physical and mental process, both arising and passing away, not just one. Noticing some sensation and also noticing the awareness, both passing away. So this is called dual method of observing this dual process. And in the beginning, the meditator feels that I am meditating. It's a very real feeling. I'm meditating. I'm sitting here and I'm meditating. I'm trying very hard. But as the insights develop deeper and deeper, this meditator begins to see that even this consciousness, which I call meditation, what is meditation? It's a consciousness, an awareness. And even this consciousness, this awareness, is momentary. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it is not there. So meditation is not something long and big. It is moment to moment, or moment by moment, consciousness, awareness. And seeing that this awareness even is anicca, dukkha, and anatta, that's why there is no I meditating. Then only the person develops real insight of anatta. Because before he or she can see the objects arising and passing away, other thoughts arising and passing away, but not this awareness, not this meditating consciousness. Who is meditating? Consciousness. A series of consciousness. And seeing that there's only a series of mindfulness, series of meditating consciousness, not a being, not I. And that seeing completes the understanding of anatta. Otherwise, it is not complete. So to get to this point is very important. Only when a person gets to this one, then this person can really develop and peel off, so to speak, deity. So this is called deity ogatana method. Really peeling off wrong view. I am not meditating. What I call meditating is only a series of consciousness, awareness. So unless a person gets to this point, this person cannot develop to the next point. So I expected to finish two insights today, but I couldn't finish even one. Just want to give you a very clear basic understanding. Because if you don't understand the basic, there's no point talking about higher states. Once you understand this very completely, the rest is quite easy. That's why I told you I will talk about four insights very deeply. The rest I can make it very short, not difficult anymore. Just a variation on a theme. And the first four, the most important. And another point is, meditators become very proud of their meditation development, insights. I know, I understand. And those other people, they don't know. They don't know as much as I do. It's a kind of conceit. And here another method, this is just another name only, pointing out that, wash that mind. I know, I can meditate. I'm a good meditator. I can keep my mind on the same object continuously for a long time. That's a kind of pride, or satisfaction also. Pride and satisfaction coming together. So in Burmese, Ngahmat Nainde, Ngahmat Tatte. I know how to meditate. So when that sort of thought comes, take the opportunity to wash it. If you can see it, you can overcome it and you become even more free. Even that I know, I can. It limits you. It confines you. So if you really want to become more and more free, watch that thought. It will come. It will definitely come. So this is called mana samoggatana, peeling off mana. Yes, in any kind of accomplishment, we take pride in accomplishment and we think we are better. So this is I. And in some cases, this taking pride is very sticky. That's why mana can be eradicated completely only by the fourth stage of enlightenment, only in arahant. Mana comparison. You compare yourself with another person. I'm a better meditator. I can, I know. To see it, yes. To see the thought arising. And if you can see the thought coming and passing away, then identification with that thought will go away slowly. Gradually it will go away. So we identify with everything happening. This identification is called mana or ditti. It has many, many aspects. Even greed has many, many aspects. So you can see some aspect of it, and sometimes you are free, sometimes you are not free. It's back again. It comes back again and again. So when you are meditating continuously, if you can overcome these things, it makes you easier to go through. Otherwise, it becomes a kind of obstruction, a hindrance. And another thing is Nikandi Priyadana, which means, Nikandi means attachment also. We get attached to good settings, good experiences. So in Burmese, Kongong Timiende, I see it very clearly and get attached to this very clear seeing. It's so nice to see clearly. And once you experience this seeing clearly, and when you lose it, you feel very frustrated. Because seeing clearly gives you a kind of tremendous satisfaction. Not seeing clearly is very frustrating. But we can get attached to this clarity. So this is loba, a kind of loba, attachment, greed, desire also. So, shumamu kaunde, and my meditation is good. Ma kaunde, noticing good. So any kind of attachment, watch that thought, getting attached to this clear seeing, good meditation experience. So I think I'll stop here for today. Next week I'll talk about only one insight. Too greedy, if you are, to finish it quickly. Because the four are very important. The rest, we can skip it. So it is better to be patient and to go in detail slowly for the first four stages of insight. So now, if you have any question about what I've talked about now, or if you are not clear about any point, please ask a few questions. Where does it come from? You mean any reference? You can find that in Visuddhimagga. And some other books, even in this library, English translations there. One book by Venerable Jnana Ponika. Have you read that book? You can find that in that book too. Read it, very good. I forgot the name. The Heart of Buddhist Meditation. Yes, The Heart of Buddhist Meditation. His teacher was Mahasi Sayadaw. There are many, many fine details also. Very hard to talk about all the details in such a short period of time. Some people think that things gradually change, one thing into another. Like hatred can change into love. That is impossible. Hatred arises and passes away as hatred, and when there is loving kindness, it is something new, totally new. So it arises as loving kindness, not as hatred. So Paramattha doesn't lose its unique or inherent quality. It doesn't change its inherent quality, inherent characteristic. So, lobaha metta phimtwanim. Apuva ae phimtwanim. So, for example, you can say that heat can change into cold. No, it's impossible. Heat arises and passes away as heat. Cold arises and passes away as cold. Hardness then cannot change into cold, softness even. Although they are the same continuum, it cannot arise as one thing and change into another thing. When another thing arises, it is something new. So this is the same idea I've talked about a few weeks ago. All the conditioned phenomena are always new. Nothing is old. They arise and passes away without losing their inherent or natural or unique characteristic. Physics. You can see the form changing, the shape and the form changing, and in meditation practice we don't emphasize on the shape or form. We emphasize on the quality only. So think of the quality. The quality arises and passes away immediately. Because it arises and passes away in such a short duration that it has no time to change into another. How short is present? You know what the Buddha said? Five billion in a second. 5 billion in that short duration. The real phenomenon, but you cannot see 5 billion in a second. You can see as much as you can see, like about 5 or 6 phenomena in 1 second. Maybe sometimes when you develop very sharp samadhi, you can see about 10 phenomena in a second. But for normal people, they can see only about 2 phenomena in a second, or maybe 3. Like if you hit something very fast, when we were young, we used the comb, and then we pull the comb on something very fast. So it has got many feet. Any two? So in a second, you can draw like this and get many sound. So you can get 10 or 20. But you cannot hear everything distinctly. But as you meditate, you can hear all those things very distinctly. So in